This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, Brock and Salk in this hour brought to you by CHI Franciscan Health. Russell Wilson, so this came out yesterday. Russell tweeted a quick video, it's like a 20-second video, of him down at his new home, and in his backyard, he appears to have built what is very close to being a regulation football field. I did a little reconnaissance on this. Uh-huh. It sounds like it's the full 100 yards plus the end zones long, and it's as wide as from a sideline to the opposite hash.
Mm.
Okay?
Interesting.
So it's not all the way, it's not fully wide enough to be a regulation field, but it goes like from the left sideline to the right hash.
Probably 40 yards wide or 38 yards wide.
Whatever that would be. Mm-hmm. So that's how wide.
It's like an old polo grounds to me.
That's what it looks like, yeah. Like an equestrian center.
Yes. Then Southern California outside of those areas you see, and I don't know where it is, San Diego or in the desert somewhere. But yeah. Yeah, he's putting his work in, no question. No time to sleep. Got
none.
The Pro Bowl to get ready for and everything else. And he is relentless in that pursuit. And I'm just kind of watching, like, yeah, that's cool. Whoa. And then he started running, like, he started to jog, like, towards his 50-yard throw that he made to his, I think, his strength coach. And then I was like, what is that? What's painted on his field? And it was his logo. And it just kind of got me thinking, like, well, that's his brand, right? His logo is his brand, like Roger Federer and Tom Brady and all these guys got their logos. It's part of their brand. But it also got me thinking, like, who does that? When have I ever seen that? Have I ever seen an athlete that has painted his own logo on his own
field? But how would you have seen it? If Tom Brady had his own field, you wouldn't have seen it necessarily. So how would you know?
I think I'd bet every dollar I have that Tom Brady doesn't have his logo painted on his own field.
Why not?
In his
He's
own
got
backyard.
TB12 everywhere else. He's got his weird, crazy business partner / health guru guy who thinks you can fix concussions with massages. I mean, he practically
Russell thinks you can fix concussions with water.
I understand that, but he practically went to war with Bill Belichick over allowing that guy in the locker room. Why wouldn't he?
Yeah, that's his guru. Thing? But you know what? To be honest, I'd step back further. This does fit his brand.
It's just his guru, Mike. Don't worry about it.
So it's just his guru.
Just the guru.
It's my bad.
This, though,
just a guru.
But after a second, after a first like initial, whoa, that's kind of weird, I was like, no, that's actually not that weird because that's Russell's brand. I don't think I've ever seen an athlete be as neutral. That's what he strives to be mentally, right? He never goes up and down. His kicker can miss the game-winning kick, and he just clicks in. He could throw the game-losing interception in the Super Bowl. He just clicks in.
Okay.
His ability mentally, Mike, to be so flat, to be so neutral, I've never seen up close an athlete anything like it. The guys I was around, that's not Peyton. You know, he battled his emotions. Russell keeps this machine-like neutrality. Okay. Yet off the field,
it's different. But you're getting crushed on this, by the way. That this is not that unusual for athletes at that level who have their own stuff. Richard Sherman has his own logo on his basketball court in Maple Valley, said texts. Michael Jordan had the Jumpman logo in the middle of his private court. By the way, Jumpman stands alone. Everybody else, you've created a logo.
What's Richard's
Jumpman
logo?
Is Jumpman.
Hold on. What
God
is Richard's
sakes.
Logo, by the way?
I don't know. But apparently he had it on his, who knows? But it was on his court, and Jordan had this on his court.
The R&S.
Shaq, Kobe, all did that.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think it's that unusual.
All right. I stand corrected.
And if you're the type, like if you're a salesperson who's building the court of whomever, don't you think you're like, hey, and check this out, I'm going to put the logo. Like, I don't know if it's Russell's idea or if it's the person who's
built that. I stand corrected. Yes, once
I don't
again,
think that's
I don't roll
weird.
In those circles.
A lot of people suggesting Jack Wilson had his logo on the infield practice field that he built at his house.
I think he did.
He may very well
J-Dubs.
Have. Yeah, Jackie Wilson.
Right.
Brock, I don't think that's that weird, but I do think it's a good question about Russell and exactly what that brand stands for. What is Russell Wilson's brand?
I don't know. It has no sense of neutrality off the field.
No, you guys can jump in. We got a ton of texts over the course of the day. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. The phone lines are always open here if you want to jump into it. 206-421-3776. When you see Russ doing that stuff and at the same day that he's announced officially as a charter partner with the group trying to bring baseball to Portland, and he's involved with Chris Hansen's group here in Seattle, and then you have all of his other business ventures, you combine it with his personality, combine it with his social media, combine it with who he is on the field. Who is Russell Wilson? What is the brand of Russell Wilson? What does it mean to you?
Oh, it's just exhausting as you say all that.
It's a lot.
It's exhausting.
Is that why it's hashtag no time to sleep?
I guess.
Because it's just, how do you possibly put all of those things together?
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. Was I talking to you guys earlier? I was talking to you, Salk, earlier this morning about coaches, right? And how these coaches, my little brother, for example, you know, they're just so, they're just like that singular focus. And that's where he is amazing to me. His singular focus, his neutrality, everything he does with his mind to be an elite franchise, one of the five best on planet Earth to do that. And then, you know, you kind of get away from it and you get in these off seasons. And we've had these conversations every off season. And it's like, well, I got to go play with the Yankees. Oh, I got to be a charter member of this franchise. Oh, I got to go save the Sonics. Oh, I got to develop this Trace Me app. Oh, I got to go meet with the YouTube guys. Oh, I got to. And it's just like, and then I got to be a dad to two kids.
Is it affecting?
And a husband. And just, that's just, he is, I guess, like Pete, he is limitless and boundless in his energy. But
hey, and
but to me, it is flat out exhausting to try to figure it out. And I think in some ways, that just difference, right? That pendulum swing is so vast. Because during the season, outside of Children's Hospital, you see very little. It is that no time to sleep, singular focus, 18 hours a day on football. And then the offseason, man, it is anywhere and everywhere. So my
but it's also with football. I mean, why does he have this home with this football field so he can practice?
Yes.
With the weight room outside and his trainer who and chef and everybody else.
And he has a trainer and he has a staff.
Exactly.
And he has a PT.
The Seahawks are going to have to pay him all this money just so that he can find a way to support all the people that he's paying to keep himself great. No wonder he needs so much money.
He's an engine, man. Economic engine.
Economic
four
driver.
Words. Four words. My four words to define Russell Wilson's brand. Believes winning is unlimited. I said earlier, believes winning is limitless. But he believes winning is unlimited.
Unlimited.
Does not matter what it is. Winning ultimately is at the very top of his pyramid. I am a winner. I am the greatest winner in this league. I won at Wisconsin. I've won in baseball. I've been a winner and accomplished things nobody ever imagined. The very top of his pyramid is winning. And then right next to it is his belief, no matter what it is, whatever venture, he is going to win at it. And, you know, I think I've come to more grips that that's just what he's going to be in an offseason. Right? He is just going to tackle any and every opportunity out there, even if at times it doesn't feel like it's on a parallel path with its football neutrality.
We got a bunch of texts here on other people. So apparently Jordan has 23 on the gates to his home.
Wow.
So when you enter the Jordan household, you have to go through the 2 and 3 gates. Would be my guess.
I bet Jeter's got something somewhere on his batting cages.
Do you think it's just gift baskets?
I don't know.
His special gift baskets the second you walk in Jeter's door.
But that's where he aligns himself. In Russell's winning world,
he is
Jordan.
Why don't you put your logo on your sport court?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you thought about doing that? Like, first of all, could we write you a logo? Could we create a logo for you and then get it on the sport court out there in
it'd be the biggest block
in West Spokane.
Basic BH you've ever found.
Well, you have good handwriting. You have cool handwriting, though.
Yeah, but my brand is basic and block. So give me a
Can we turn the H into like two biceps, like on top of the H?
No. No. Like a body image H?
Yeah.
So we start kind of getting judgmental. Oh, that H is a little too wide. I feel like the H needs to lose. Slim down, H. Yeah. Come on, let's pull it in. Pull it in, H.
No brand for
me. No? Mm-mm. I would like a little brand on your sport court.
Nah,
why?
I can't go there.
No?
No, I don't think so. No, that would be outside of my comfort zone. No, thank you. I was actually just chatting with a reporter the other day, and he asked me a question. He said, he's writing an article on social media. He goes, if you were in the social media world as a recruit back in 94, if everything was what it was here in 94, how do you think you would handle that? And maybe I'm a total, like, not necessarily hypocrite, but maybe I'm bringing all of this out because it's somewhat personal to me. I said, well, I'll tell you, back in our day, the Letterman's jacket and all the patches were a really big deal, right? And I was like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to have one patch. I'm going to have the P, and that is it. But even in that, I don't know if that was a pride to be like, look at me. Right. I have no patches on it. And then having said all
You're
of that.
You're just trying to be a contrarian.
But having said all of that, then I wrote a diary for the USA Today.
Right.
So who's
Look at me.
Yes.
Look at me. Look at me.
Yes.
Brock, a lot of people suggesting that your logo is the regular B, and then the H is actually two crosses that make up very close together to be an H.
Solid. I'll
that
buy
would
that.
Kind of be
really
your
good.
Brand.
Huh?
Right?
Really Can good. You draw that for me?
Me? Yeah, no. I can't draw anything. You draw it. You have good handwriting and are artistic.
I don't.
Let's get Wyman in to draw it. Wyman can legitimately draw.
Lydia can draw.
Yeah, and Lydia can draw. I forgot about that. Lydia, you're an excellent artist.
Excellent draw.
Oh, no, I know. I can't draw. You drew us that thing last year for Christmas. It was amazing. Stop it. For gosh sakes. Oh, my God. You are absolutely a good
favorite
artist.
Favorite moment of the show. Go,
can you draw this logo for Brock with the B and then like
yes,
two crosses that turn into an H?
We'll get together. We'll workshop it after the show. We'll knock something out.
And then we're going to get it. We're going to get it to somebody who can then like have it imprinted on Brock's
so that's
sport
my
card.
Logo. What's yours?
Mine? Yeah. I don't have a logo.
On the Green Lake running lane, right?
Cool
where you run
logo.
Around your 3-mile lap.
Oh, that's just me exhausted.
No.
God, I hate this. Oh, my God. When is this over? No, I don't have a logo. We did ask people, though, for some help. Did you put any of this together? We asked for some help on trying to come up with four words for Russell's brand
yeah.
and then four words for Brock's and, unfortunately, four words for mine. What did you put together over there?
Just a handful, smattering 22 different ones. One of the ones I liked was that Russell's leader into darkness and that Brock is the ex-quarterback and that Mike is the know-it-all.
Oh, well, that's nice. I was hoping he was going to have something to do with
number
being dark,
one
dang,
here for Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll above all of us. Number two for Brock, humble brag pro, but overall a good guy. And three, the necessary antagonist that everybody really actually likes, but it's not ready to admit.
That's fair.
Really follow the parameters of the game.
The rules. We should introduce that person to Lydia about trying to understand the rules of a bit in the game and trying to actually follow through with them. Sorry.
Another one for Russell, competitive, charitable, wealthy, and safe.
Yes. I think that's
for
fair.
For Brock, quarterback, family, bland, naive.
Hold on, wait a minute. Russell doesn't get quarterback, but Brock does?
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And for Mike, informed, opinionated, ego, and question mark?
Oh. I can only be defined in three ways, Brock. I don't deserve a fourth word.
One I really liked for Russell Wilson, wholesome, dependable, winning leader. For Brock, juice, doesn't fake funk. And for Mike, East Coast contrarian genius.
Well, is that a compliment or is that backhanded?
Do I have a question mark too or not?
It might need one. All right. Anything else worth reading over there, Howdy, or is that the end of it?
Yeah, one of the most common ones for Russell, separation in the preparation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's Salk?
Okay, go ahead.
For Salk, it was bitter, but mostly right. And for Brock, such a nice guy.
Oh, he's such a nice guy. You know, I mean, that's for Jake, though. That's for Jake Locker.
Yeah, Jake Hughes.
And Jake Hughes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, every time we do these conversations.
Brock's, if you need to define Brock's brand in four words, I will define Brock's brand for him.
Oh, okay.
I got Russell's. For Russell, it is wannabe everything to everyone. That would be the way I would define Russell's brand in four words. The other option would be no time to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
For you, Brock, I just had it. Now I went to Russell's. Now I forget what it was. Oh, I know what it is. Brock's would be, I agree with Brock. That would be the perfect.
That's his brand?
Or we agree with Brock.
His brand?
Yes.
Maybe our brand.
Well, it's everybody's brand. It's, he's somebody to be agreed with.
Oof.
So maybe it's that.
That's stats community these days. No,
well, that's true.
Always on the run.
Yes.
For Brock, I know Peyton Manning.
Okay.
And for Salk, bada, 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 bada.
All right. That's, you know, Wassel's going to get it for this. I don't appreciate that. Wassel. What did he say yesterday? Can you play that one more time, Lydia, and then we'll move on? The whole thing, because I don't understand why Wassel's out there imitating
Wassel.
Me.
What a creep.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with Cowherd on this one. Wassel came on yesterday, and what? He just started
He filled in for
me?
Answer the question,
which was nice.
We got a little off the rails.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
We were talking about some question that really got out of hand.
Yeah. It was music-related, and
right.
Yeah.
You know, his ego.
Oh, it was Brock. You came up with what your version, what your song would be, and you said every cherry has its pit.
Oh, yeah. We had to have a power ballad, name of a power ballad song.
Oh, right. That'd be your version of every rose.
And Wassel's was I Love You, Baby.
That's funny.
Because he thought it would cross all the generations.
Right, of course. It's timeless.
Every cherry has its pit. Tom wasn't buying it.
Tom didn't like that.
Every cherry has its pit.
Okay. Pit's a tough word to throw in there.
Right.
Yeah. Mike would not be happy if he were here right now with that answer.
Oh, no.
Why?
He would hate it.
Really?
He'd say, all right, that's enough. All right, let's move on. All right, coming up next, John Clayton. Ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Hey, and goodbye.
That was the most amazing impression ever.
Was that Salky?
Yeah.
Ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da.
Coming up tomorrow on the program, we got Al Michaels coming in. Got to talk to Brock. Ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da.
I can't believe you guys yesterday. The first part's definitely me. I don't know about the second part. That doesn't sound
all
like
right.
Me, does
that's
it?
Enough.
All right. Maybe that, but I.
That's pretty good. You got your cadence.
I don't think so.
Can we get to some football?
All right, let's move on. All right.
Thank
coming up next, John Clayton.
Yes, let's move on.
Hey, and goodbye.
I think that the underrated part is the end there, too. Like you randomly say, hey.
Is that something I say? Hey!
No, I don't know.
Like, I turn into Hacksaw Jim Duggan for a minute in the middle? Like, hey-oh!
Hey! Hey! Come on!
Start storming around with a 2x4? All right. That is enough of all that, Brock. What do you want to talk? You want to talk about Bevel? He stinks. What else do you want?
No, I think we need to unpack Bevel. This
Why?
Guy that is
He's gone. Can't we just be happy that Bevel's not here?
Are you rooting against him?
No. He seems like a really nice guy. But
because
he's
a lot
not
of
a
times when
caller.
Guys leave here.
I'm not rooting for him.
You're not rooting for him? You don't want to see Detroit have success?
No.
Are you sure?
I root against Matt Stafford already.
Are you sure, by the way, that Daryl Bevel, with a quality offensive line, just a competent offensive line, I mean, you could say, and I know Bob Stelton, you know, stands on this ground, and I'm kind of there with him. I mean, you could look at his body of work and his level of accomplishment and what he did with the offensive line and the run game that he
I
had.
I think that Daryl Bevel's a creative, interesting offensive coordinator. I don't think he's a good play caller, and I'm not a big fan of Matt Stafford's.
So that makes it tough. And the Detroit organization is kind of a mess.
Right. And the funny thing is, I always sort of liked the Lions my whole life. I don't like root for them, but you know, you got teams out there where you're like, if neutral teams are playing, you're like, I'll kind of root for them.
Well,
and
because
hope
they're
succeed.
Not the Bears or the Packers in the North.
Right. I don't like either of them.
No.
I don't like the Bears. I don't like the Packers. I've never particularly cared for the Vikings. And so, yeah, I guess if you have to choose one team in each division, I'd probably choose Detroit. Could you do that? Could you choose one team you like best in each division?
Probably.
Quickly.
You want to do that?
Yeah,
now?
I kind of do.
Like a little. This could be a lot of fun.
One team you like in each NFL division. Start in the NFC. Start with the Blue Bloods. If you just any year, you don't get to know who's on the team. Mm. Which NFC
Philly.
East team are you
Probably
rooting for?
Probably Philly. Even though the fans are obnoxious, but that was such an incredible environment for me as a player to get in and to feel that just bitterness and hatred and just vitriol of their fans. It would probably be
It'd
over
probably
the years
be for
Philly.
Me Philly now. It used to be the Giants, obviously, when I was a kid.
That's Randall.
That's
Reggie White. That's the
right. You know, yeah, it's Philly. I would
Worski.
Agree. Anybody want to disagree?
I mean, Ricky Waters. Come on.
Love Ricky Waters.
Okay.
Baller.
In the NFC North, you agree that it's Detroit? If you got to pick one team to just, hey, I'm choosing a team. Which NFC North team is it?
No. No, I don't.
Minnesota?
No, yeah, I go Minnesota.
Yeah, I
Minnesota
go Minnesota.
Second.
I go an old Rich Gannon
old
in Minnesota.
Randy Moss.
Brad
yeah,
Johnson's
Culpepper.
Neck so long. Yeah, I probably go Minnesota.
I could see that. I could kind of go either way on that one. NFC South? It's the Saints for me. I've always kind of liked the Saints.
I've always kind of liked the Saints.
But actually, I've also kind of liked the Bucs.
Mike Allstott, Warwick Dunn. I love
yes,
those teams.
Or before Prince, that with the Creamsicles and Eric Rett. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. So I kind of, to be honest, I actually like most of the NFC South.
It's
I like Carolina.
I
like the Saints. I generally like Atlanta.
Yep.
I would like Tampa. I like Tampa more then than I do now.
And you love them now with Jameis and
I don't
Bruce,
care for
two
that.
Of your favorites.
But in general, that's been a one I would like.
Yep.
And the all right, we don't have to do the NFC West, but we'll go to the AFC East. Dolphins for me. I've always been a little bit of a Dolphin. I just love Marino, and I love their uniforms. I like that they stand out.
Just a mess. That one is just a total mess because New England, like Nick Saban's done to the SEC, has just turned it on its head.
The Dolphins are so far removed from the rest of that division. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. But that used to be cool. Like when the Patriots were just a normal team or when they were a bad team, you'd get like the Dolphins would come up there and really mm-hmm. struggle in the cold. The Patriots and Jets would all go down there and it would be hot and they wouldn't be able to handle it. Buffalo too. So I don't know. I guess I think of the old AFC East when the Colts were there, but when Buffalo and Miami was really the heart of that division, mm-hmm. battling for AFC championship games every year with Marino and Kelly.
Yep.
And I guess I would still say Miami.
And by far the weakest like connection is the AFC South. You have a Tennessee team that was the Oilers. You have a Houston Texans
right.
team that is new. Just there's no deep-seated connection. Jacksonville Jaguars, terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no connection.
So who do you root
whatsoever.
For in the AFC South? No one.
No. I mean, the Colts.
You don't root for the
you
Colts?
You played
Rock?
For the Colts.
Right. So.
Right.
Yeah, I've got a connection to the Colts, but none of those. But
That's
even,
the biggest insult I've heard.
But even right. Indianapolis, like growing up, it was the Baltimore. I mean, it's just there's not a connection in any of those.
Okay.
There's no like generational emotional connection.
I go
to
Titans
any of them.
There.
I probably do too. You know, I probably do too. I like Andrew Luck, but I probably do too.
The Titans? Yeah,
great
I guess you're
fans.
Probably right. I think I would probably go Titans.
Tremendous.
Kind of like Mike Vrabel
tremendous
too.
Tremendous fans.
All right. In the AFC North, you got Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Baltimore, and
Cincinnati.
That's another tough it's one.
A nasty division. AFC's the worst. I've said it 100
times. It's been Cleveland for me.
Gosh, this exercise
I've always rooted for Cleveland.
This exercise is kind
of
proving that.
I was
that.
Super mad when the fumble, oh, Ernest Biner.
Ernest.
Right, I loved Kevin Matt. I liked Bernie
Kosar. 19.
Right, like I loved Michael Jackson.
Painted mud.
Eric Metcalf.
Yeah.
It's got to be them.
I like those Browns.
William the Refrigerator Perry's brother, Michael Dean Perry.
I'll go those Browns.
Okay. Yeah, but the Browns over time, obviously, you know, have had some problems. But I still kind of root for them. They're kind of lovable losers.
I'll tell you, though, Pittsburgh, one of the classiest organizations.
I know, but you're not rooting for them. Come on. You're not. Stop.
Baltimore.
You're not rooting for them. Baltimore would be second. And then the AFC West?
Chiefs.
No.
Chiefs.
Chargers.
Chiefs.
Chargers.
Chiefs.
Chargers. Hate the Broncos. I've always hated the Broncos. Since birth, I've hated the Broncos.
Yeah.
Probably my least favorite team in football is the Broncos.
Really?
Just as I just hate them. Hmm. Always have, always will. Hated Elway. Hated them in the middle. For my entire life, I've hated the Broncos. I don't know if I've ever rooted for them in a single game.
Mm, interesting. It's passionate.
Can't stand them.
It's strong.
Yes.
Yeah, go Chiefs. That's why I'd like to see them in the Super Bowl.
Go Chiefs on that one.
Really? Not Chargers?
There's a little bit of empathy.
The Chargers are always playing on a baseball field.
Chargers ownership is pathetic.
I like that. It's certainly not the Raiders.
I like the Chiefs jerseys.
Does the Raiders brand really play, though? Like, nationally?
Let me give you a little.
Do people really know the Raiders brand? Does it play to young people?
So I'm not even going there. So do you know that the Chiefs actually, they feed you when you leave their building? They feed you the best barbecue. Yeah, so the visitor buses,
if you're a player.
Yeah, you walk out the same tunnel as the home team does. And that's where I saw Chester McLaughlin, the late Chester McLaughlin, and his wife wearing matching fur suits that must have taken 18 animals. I mean, it was incredible. But as you walk out, they have a whole set of tables with the most incredible barbecue for you to grab and take on your bus. So, I've just got an affinity for the Chiefs, for their fans. They've been the lovable losers. They just can't quite get it done, and I'll be rooting for them Sunday.
They're the former Super Bowl champs, as Brian would tell you, our friend Brian.
Way back.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I think it's always been the Chargers for me. I always sort of root for the Chargers and hope that they're good and doesn't seem to really...
It's kind of a fun little exercise.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I wonder if you were to do it, if uniform preference would end up becoming a factor for a lot of people. Maybe
either
not.
Uniform preference or how good they were in the 90s.
Yeah, or like when you were a kid, whenever anyone was a kid. I wonder if that would...
Or their star player.
Yeah, if they were just people you liked specifically. I think uniforms... Maybe I'm not embarrassed. I think uniforms play a bigger deal to me than I generally would care to admit. Mm. I love the Lions uniforms. I love the Saints uniforms. I love the Chargers. I love the Dolphins.
The old Bucks.
I love the creamsicle Bucks. I mean, like, I kind of go through that. Maybe I'm just a jersey guy.
I think the old creamsicles are the best throwbacks there are.
They're sweet.
When they wear those throwbacks, you wouldn't want to see them everywhere.
With the creamsicle helmet, too, though, like with the Buccaneer face and that thing is awesome.
Yep.
And I think of Eric Rett and Hardy Nickerson. Those are the two guys I think of when I think of those uniforms. Eric Redd on offense and Hardy Nickerson on defense. Maybe Testaverde, I guess, because he was drafted there. He was on the cover of SI. All right. You want to talk about Darrell Bevell? You want to talk about a couple of things? I also want to get into just very briefly go back to this top 25 list of free agents, Brock, because I think you're maybe giving it short shrift.
Mm.
We'll do that next. I'm Rock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
this is Brock and Salk.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com.
Well, this hour, Brock and Salk includes the Fun Young Cannibals, and it's brought to you by CHI Franciscan Health. Just taking a look at this top 25 free agent list, Brock, and we'll do answer the question jerk in 15 minutes. You guys want to jump in with questions, 710-710. Send them in now, and we'll start reading them here in 15 minutes. It's an intriguing list, and I understand what you're saying, that there aren't a ton of names on here that that truly appeal to you. I think there's a couple of names that you should at least be curious about. I mean, there's some really good players.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they're going to get to free agency. Grady Jarrett is a load, a defensive tackle who is incredibly disruptive. I can't imagine the Falcons let him get away.
Well, do you want Grady Jarrett or Jaron Reed?
Right. I mean, you already have Jaron Reed, who is sort of a cheaper version of Grady Jarrett.
Yep.
Trey Flowers, I think, is a really good player. The other Trey Flowers with the Patriots, he gets to the passer. And I can't imagine he's going to be available. And if he is, I'm sure it's going to be a tremendous amount of money.
I can't have two Trey Flowers on my team.
No?
No, I can't do that.
All right.
I'd feel so horrible.
Earl Thomas is obviously going to leave. D Ford, I don't think you're going to be able to afford. Frank Clark's probably going to stay. I think Landon Collins' name is, you have to be interested in Landon Collins. This guy was a big time safety, 2 years ago, who just got hurt this past year, and he's only 26.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big hitter. He, in many ways, finally replaces Cam Chancellor and allows Bradley McDougal to go to free safety. You've got to at least be curious about that.
I'm curious about it. Comes from Alabama, is an unbelievable hitter and finisher, and one of the more intimidating safeties, I think, in the game. Been a little bit, a little bit beat up, is also a little bit loose-lipped. has thrown coaches and people under the bus, been willing to do so. Maybe you like some of that. It was Eli Apple that he just buried and called him just a quitter, or in some of his teammates. Yep. So, you know, you've got to be willing. Maybe you want that edge. Maybe you need a little bit of that back. So, yeah, I think he would be that safety position. That would be an intriguing one.
Yeah, no, he's probably going to cost some money also. I mean, just sort of the level of player he is. I guess I find myself looking near the end of a top 25 list and sort of a sweet spot in there. If you don't want to spend the big money on the biggest names free in free agency, but you still want some really good value for some good players. And I believe the best thing the Seahawks have ever done in the free agent market is when they went out there and signed Cliff Avril and Michael Bennett at the same time to pair them with Chris Clemens and said, okay, these three guys plus Bruce Irvin, plus we got some guys in the inside like McDonald and McDaniel who can actually get after the passer, Mebane, we're going to really make a point of getting after the passer all the time and rotating these guys through. And so if I look through this list, I don't know exactly how much these guys are worth and what they're going to get in the open market, so maybe we need to talk to John about these names in particular tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But the two names on this top 25 list, and this is an NFL.com list, that I would say, okay, what if you could get these two? Would be Ezekiel Ansah, he's 21 on this list, coming from the Lions, and Brandon Graham, who's been with the Eagles and can rush the passer from the outside also, but he's 31 years old this year, which means that his value is probably going to be down also.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you could get Graham and Ansah for the same type of deals that you once got Avril and Bennett?
No, not with the premium of pass rushing today.
We said that then too. Pass rushing was at a premium then also. They just weren't the guys people wanted. They went Gaga over Paul Kruger. Mm-hmm. They went Gaga over a few other players, and they were sort of the two that were left over. And if you look at this market, they're not the top pass rushers out there. Trey Flowers is going to be worth more, right? I mean, there's other names that I think people are probably.
Marcus Lawrence is going to be franchised. Frank's going to be franchised. I think those guys are going to be franchised. You're going to be left with those guys that I think are going to.
Dominican Sue is going to be out there. I know it's a slightly different position, but another guy who gets after the passer.
And Grady Jarrett.
Grady Jarrett may get out there. Za'Darius Smith, I think, from the Ravens, the outside linebacker who can get after the passer. 10 sacks last year. I think those are all names that may very well be ahead of these two.
You know what's more captivating to me? How do you take care of Frank? How do you take care of Russell? How do you take care of Fluke? How do you take care of Sweezy? And more importantly, how do you take care of Jess Coleman? And you know what? I was listening to Bob Gross and Tom talk about this yesterday, Mike. And you know, it's a weird place that Frank's in. This never happened before. This is a stark difference from version 1.0. Version 1.0 locked Bobby, locked Russell, locked these guys, Sherman, mm-hmm. Cam. In version 1.0, when that thing started, they locked those guys up the year before they hit free agency, mm-hmm. so they could have those extensions onto their contract. So you never even had to flirt with this franchise tag.
I think they should be doing that with Jaron Reed this offseason.
Okay. Well, then you start to look at that pot of gold, and you start to take more and more and more.
But you also have the seventh highest cap room of anybody in football. I mean, yes, Russell's going to take up some of that, but he's already taking up a lot of your cap anyway. Frank Clark is going to be a major raise, and that one's going to be a challenge. But mm-hmm. after that, first of all, Jaron Reed, if you extend him now, you can spread a lot of that cap space over these next few years. I think, look, I'm not a capologist. I don't know this for a fact, but my understanding is that you would absolutely be able to find a way to sign two mid-tier free agents like those two. And if you think those guys can both play, Brandon Graham's 31. He's not getting big-time money. Not at that position. And if you could find a way to bring those two guys in together, I would be gaga for that or something like it.
Yeah.
Whereas baseball contracts, when you pay the guy, that's how much money he makes that year. Football contracts, generally speaking, if you sign a guy, the cap influence is 2 or 3 years into it, not necessarily the first year. So, yeah, they got to sign a lot of guys, but the fact that they sign them now means that this year's cap should be a little lower.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into it, man, and I just keep coming back to why that 2013 and 14 teams were special. And I think it was the ability to rush the passer from three or four different places on the field at once.
And we asked Rabel
and
this
right
week.
Now it's Frank Clark, Jaron Reed, and that's it.
Yeah, we asked Rabel this week. He was like-minded. You know, the area that he would like to see addressed first is just more of that artillery at the defensive line.
206-421-3776. A few of you guys want to weigh in. Grab Andy, who's calling from Shelton. Good morning, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Great.
Why wouldn't like Russell Wilson take a little bit less money in free agency, kind of like Tom Brady and everything, and then put a little bit more money to a couple more offensive linemen? And obviously he seems like the team guy and everything like that, and make a little bit more on the back end on residuals and all that kind of stuff by having a winning team forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, you know, I've thought a lot about that. I would love for Russell Wilson to do that. I would love for every player to be so selfless. Would you do that?
I think I would.
You do that at work now? You willing to sacrifice some of your paycheck to make your company a little bit better?
Yeah, because I own my company.
Fair. That's a little bit different situation. But I think, look, asking somebody to take less than their market value, I think it's a fair ask. I don't think you can get upset with somebody who says no.
Right, but if you're already making, like, I mean, I think isn't Tom Brady almost, like, clearing $50 million by the time he's done with all of his other endorsements and everything by being a winning quarterback for 17 years or whatever?
Andy, you own your own business. I'll give you some numbers here. I've been doing a little digging Tom Brady thing, because I know eventually at some point, and this isn't the week to do it, you know, I'm leading up to championship games, and maybe next week we start to talk a little bit about Russell. I don't think there's going to be a Russell conversation for a little bit of time here, because there's more pressing issues like Frank Clark, whose contract is up. But it is remarkable. I was spitting these out to Kyle earlier this morning about Tom Brady. Here's Tom Brady's cap hit. Okay, this is his cap value. Talked about managing and massaging that cap. Mm-hmm. This is cap hit over the last 10 years. 14, 17, 13, 8. 13, 15, 14, 14, 14, 22 this year. Set to be at 27 next year. He's renegotiated his deal 11 times in 18 years. How they have managed and massaged that. He had a season where he made, as far as income, from the New England Patriots, $1 million. That is how his deal and how things were structured in that way. Andy, I think he makes about $8 million in his endorsements. Obviously, his wife was making $50 million a year for nearly a decade, is one of the highest paid models in the world. So, yeah, income for him, and he's got a unique 18-year relationship with an owner that won't surprise me at all. There's, you know, some deals put in place when he is done in New England, as he's given his life and his career there, and they've all, you know, reaped massive, massive benefits from it. But it is a totally unique situation, different than anybody else. But I agree with you, Andy. If there's one thing that Russell could do to endear his brand in ways it's never been endeared before, is to look at the winning ways of Mr. Brady and saying, is there a way we can at least structure this creatively that does benefit the whole, rather than put the gun to the temple and say, I want the highest paid deal, period, end of story.
Mark Rogers is like the blight on Russell Wilson's brand. Like, the more we talk about Russell and what his brand stands for, Mark Rogers, his agent, is so the opposite of all of that.
He is the Jimmy Lake to Chris Peterson. You have to have that, though.
He's the heavy, he's the troublemaker, he's the hardliner.
He's just doing his job as an agent.
He's a baseball guy. He's a baseball guy,
Russell,
doing baseball things.
And Russell's been
in a football
baseball
world.
Russell's been a baseball guy.
This isn't a baseball negotiation.
And Russell hires him. Okay?
But
Russell doesn't
Brock,
work
just,
for him.
I understand that. And I said that's why he's the blight on Russell's brand. It's an odd move from Russ. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't fit with the rest of it. And you can say that he's a baseball guy and that's fine, but baseball doesn't have creativity like that. Baseball doesn't have a salary cap. Baseball doesn't have taking less for the whole of the team. That's a football thing.
Yep.
And you're asking a guy who
baseball doesn't have a salary
cap. I just said that. Yeah. Guys who prominently work in a completely different world, yep, to come to this world and then do the things that you're saying, that's not up Mark Rogers' alley, right? This goes back to the scorpion and the frog, right? Well, sorry, man. The scorpion's a scorpion. That's what he does. You want a baseball agent, he's going to negotiate like it's baseball.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scorpion and a frog, right? Isn't that who it is? Doesn't the scorpion need, yes, the frog to take him across, and he stings, yeah, him in the water, and they both die? Why'd you do it? Because I'm a scorpion.
Yep.
That's what I do.
Yep.
I know I said what I said, but I'm a scorpion. I'm going to sting you as soon as we get out there.
Trust,
sorry,
in that story, and even if it's incorrect, just say it like it is.
Let's do it. Let's
Don't
go
let
with
the
it.
Facts get in the way.
Scorpions,
of story.
Frogs, yeah, agents, brands, the whole deal. 710-710, any question, any subject, Answer the Question Jerk is next. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk's Answer the Question Jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, answering your questions to finish up every show. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. We could still use a few more. It's that time of year, man. This is the time to get your questions in. Maybe a little sluggish on the old text machine there.
I'm going to say this was the time of year when the greatest question of all time in 10 years of this dynastic run of Answer the Question Jerk, which was, I feel like my wife is growing a mustache. What do I do?
Right.
That was a 2 day.
How do I tell her?
Yeah, Lydia, that took 2 days. That preceded you. And it was a very gentle, I mean, he was like, genuinely concerned. Like, it looks like she's getting a lot of facial hair. And
that's what got Heather to say, take the bull by the hands.
Mm-hmm.
That was her suggestion.
Yep.
This guy just needs to take the bull by the hands.
Mm-hmm. Not try to wax it himself. Not try to send her to a spa. Not try to do
anything. That's my favorite suggestion. Wax it yourself.
Oh, okay.
Sure. All right.
Next question.
Jerks, what are some good songs with whistling in them other than Winds of Change and Patience?
Sitting at the Dock of the Bay?
Yes. Great one.
Great.
Although, interesting enough, because I love Otis Redding, rumor is that was a rough draft of that song, and because he unfortunately passed away way too young, I think age 28, and he didn't like the whistling, according to something I read, that he actually wanted to take that out of the final song.
Classic, though. It's too bad.
He was only 28?
How about,
I believe so. He wasn't in the 27
club? Yeah, 26.
Or no, 26. I'm sorry.
How about Whistle While You Work? Snow White.
It's very specific time that you can sing it or use it. But
how about Flo Rida, Whistle? That was pretty good.
Does he actually whistle in there?
I don't know. Somebody whistles.
Oh, no,
though.
No, he did. You're right. Yeah.
It's got to be him, right? You think they imported someone to whistle?
I need a whistling specialist. Whistling specialist.
Aisle 9. What else is there? That's sort of the only ones I can think of that are sort of in any way famous for having whistling.
They're like a Buddy Holly song with like...
Probably. I can't think of it off the top of my head. We'll take suggestions. 710-710. More texts. Guys, I'm curious. It's kind of a deep question.
Oh,
please share how it came to be that your respective families settled in the Boston area and in Puyallup.
Yeah, please do.
Okay. Well, for my
roots.
Family roots, as
about
I kind
Ezra Meeker?
Of trace them. Yeah, Grandpa was good friends with Ezra. My grandparents on my mom's side were born in Holland. They were of some means, got spread out during the war, and eventually immigrated to Boston.
Mm.
And then, of course, the natural transition from Boston to Aberdeen, Washington.
Right, why wouldn't they?
And then from Aberdeen over to Enumclaw, and then eventually my mom met my dad at Central. My dad's roots much deeper, like Damon's Vineyards. Part of his whole story of passing time is Heward Road out there in Grandview, Washington. That goes back generationally to the Horsehaven Hills, to Grandview, to that area, and that's where they met at Central, and coaching took my dad eventually to Puyallup.
There you go.
There you go.
My family mostly came from Russia and ended up in Boston. At the end of it, stuck around. Been there for, four generations, five generations?
Nice.
Sort of how that went. All right, we got a bunch of other, a bunch of others.
Next question.
Other whistling songs. Lydia, you're absolutely right. Every Day by Buddy Holly.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you.
Walk Like an Egyptian has the whistling at the end. I hadn't really considered that. I think I always thought that was an instrument, but maybe it is whistling. What else? The intro to Kill Bill.
Do, do, right. Do, do, do.
Yeah.
So creepy. Quentin Tarantino, the master of the soundtrack.
Of course. So, yeah, there's a few good ones. I'm trying to see if there are any others on here. I like that, though. Jerks, what would you give me if I put on my producer hat and got John McEnroe to come on the show?
Mm.
What is that worth to us to get John McEnroe finally on the show?
I thought it was longstanding that the producer gets fired and that person gets hired as
I think
producer.
So. Well, I think it's just sort of automatic. We fire the producer, you're the producer.
I mean, I'd be willing to do a full-blown lunch at Daniel's with appetizers after the show.
Wow.
The day that, you know, that happens. You can come down, sit in for the interview if it's at 9 o'clock, let's say, and can hang out. We have to kick around a little bit before. Well, actually, not true. With the new downtown High Reach, we can go have breakfast or brunch or lunch.
There you go.
So that's what that'd be the offer.
Okay. Yeah. If you can get him on, Brock will take you out to lunch.
You can come on in and
hang
make
out.
It happen.
Sure. We'll do
it
that.
Says Guns N' Roses, Patience.
Well, that was the original question.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yep. The question was besides Patience and Winds of Change.
Okay. Perfect.
What else?
Well, these are more modern songs. Black Keys, Tighten Up. That opens with whistling.
Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Jason Derulo.
Right. Of course Jason Derulo there you go. Has whistling. You're not a great whistler, Howie.
What's that?
You're not a great whistler.
No, that's a lot of air.
No, not right now. Not at the moment.
Okay. Can you generally whistle better than that?
Okay. Not great.
What, are you sick?
Not great.
I've been trying to teach the kids how to whistle. It's harder than you'd think to teach somebody to whistle.
You
just put your lips together and blow.
You've got it innately or you don't.
Roy Orbison, Here Comes the Rain, Baby?
I don't know that song.
Bing Crosby, White Christmas, the top-selling single of all time?
Never heard of it. Doesn't count.
Greatest whistler I know, Mike Ewer.
Oh, I believe he's got to have the coach's whistle, right? Well, with two fingers. I wish I could do that. Can't do it.
Centerfold. Oh, sorry. The song.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Jay Giles Band, Peter Wolf, Centerfold.
Jeez, there's a lot of whistling songs.
Next question.
But none of them top Winds of Change.
Jerks, what does it say about Brock that when he hears a song that fires him up, he immediately begins to disrobe?
It's true.
It's a good point. Brock does do that. When he gets fired up, he'll rip off whatever the top layer is.
That's true.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Why does that make you disrobe?
He's kind of ready to lift.
Oh, it's about lifting.
Yeah, ready to do something. Got it. Physical.
Let's get physical. Let's get into physical. Your body talk.
It's great. That's Wassel's favorite song.
Jerk, in your opinion, what is necessary? There it is. Please leave your clothes on. Stay away from me.
Get away.
I don't like people right behind me like that. It makes me nervous.
You know what else I do, I realize? I nod. Any good song, I definitely am a head nodder.
No.
Oh, big time.
No.
No, for real.
You don't say.
Amazingly so.
Jerks, in your opinion, what is necessary for a hamburger to be considered great? It's got to be medium rare. It has to start there. It's got to be medium rare. Truly great hamburger has to be pink inside.
I'm going to take this a step further.
Well,
because
that's just the beginning, obviously.
I mean, there's the In-N-Outs, there's the Miners, there's all sorts of different varieties. But I think when it's said and done, after you have finished that, Tipsy Cow, by the way, Red Robin, when you have finished that burger, you don't feel just, but you don't feel like you need to eat one more bite of anything else. It is satisfying.
It's good. It's fair. I like that.
You're just satisfied.
Theme to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Obviously, that has whistling in it.
Yeah. I'll stand by my claim. None of them top Winds of Change.
How about What a Day for a Daydream? That's got one.
You're a pretty good whistler.
I'm better. Yeah.
Better whistler than singer?
Better actually sucking in air than blowing it out. Well,
huh.
Okay.
Really?
Whoa. Yeah. It kind of works better.
You've always been such a suck up.
Dogs everywhere.
You think that's what it is? Out. All right. Let's be done with this show. Thank you. We got to go. We're talking about, we're whistling on the air. What has happened to us?
All right. We got to go. Coming tomorrow on the show.
See what he just did? Do you see what you just did?
All right, that's enough.
You don't think I did it on purpose?
Sean Clayton coming up tomorrow with I
absolutely know that was not on purpose. And I think if we cut those two together, which we may
like
do
identical.
Tomorrow, I think they're going to find that be very
I'm
similar.
Done with you guys, honestly. I don't like any of you. G. Scott's coming in tomorrow. He's G is now
what
determined he's
he
a regular
in?
Friday guest.
Yeah, what time is he coming
8 o'clock.
He's coming in at 8 with us?
Open phone lines at 9. Is there anybody left listening to do open phone lines now the football season's over? Or are we going to have to stop doing this?
Good question.
We'll have to see. Hopefully you guys will get that going tomorrow at 9. We'll see you at 7. Till then, the hay.
Barn.
See you, everybody.
Coming up tomorrow on the program, we got Al Michaels coming in. Got to talk to Brock.
Every cherry has its pit. Lydia can draw.
Yeah, and Lydia can draw. I forgot about that. Lydia, you're an excellent artist.
Excellent draw.
Oh, no, I know. I can't draw.
Go!